The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Ready, Set, Spill. I'm Lindsay Carter, the founder and CEO of Set Active, a new mother and the host of Ready, Set, Spill.
Taking it behind the scene with today's guest, she has a serious obsession with the power of intentional branding. She works with brands to develop the clarity they need in order to reach their highest potential, and she's done just that with Set. On this episode, I welcome my friend and brand strategist, Gina Sheldon, to speak on how she advises brands to push boundaries and do things differently. So I usually start all these episodes with an icebreaker, but I think I'm going to ask you two because two of them are good and I'm interested to hear your answer. Who would you say is your celebrity doppelganger?
That's such a great question because I definitely don't. I've never felt like I've ever really looked like anybody.
Okay. Has anyone told you that you've ever looked like someone?
The two that I've gotten, one is Shailene Woodley.
Oh my God.
And the other, which I actually don't know if I even know what she looks like, is Sarah Bareilles. And I don't know if I'm saying her name right.
Sarah Bareilles, I think.
Sure.
The one who says, I'm not going to write you a love song.
Yeah. I don't know what she looks like.
I would say definitely closer to Shailene Woodley.
Okay. I'll take it.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I'm not mad at that.
Yeah. I'm not mad either. That's Sarah Bareilles. Sorry, Jake, my assistant's holding up a picture.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe if Shailene and Sarah Bareilles had a baby, it was you, Gina.
Okay.
Yeah.
They don't look like my parents. But I mean, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I like those two. Nice.
Yeah.
I've been told Kim Kardashian and Sandra Bullock, so.
Maybe if they had a baby.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. If you were famous, what would you be famous for?
Oh,
I would say comedy, like you would be a comedian.
That would be like if I could choose.
Yeah.
I would do that.
You would? That's so much pressure.
If I like wasn't myself and I could choose.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like I'm way too like stage fright. I don't like talking in front of people. Even if somebody's like, hey, this is my friend Gina. She's really funny. I immediately am like, well, I guess I'll just be like really serious and awkward for the rest of the night. So that's cool. But like if I was not myself, but I could choose one like skill to have, like I love making people laugh.
Well, you do that often, especially we miss you in the Slack channel because you make really good jokes. And I pray every day that you'll come back.
I would join like a jokes only Slack channel with you guys, but I don't know if I would take like the all day and all night. Work emergency slacks.
Well, that goes into who's Gina Sheldon. For anyone who doesn't know, I've known Gina since, I guess, preschool. I was in preschool.
My brother and your oldest sister went to kindergarten together.
Okay.
And we're friends. And that's like our families just became buddies.
Yeah.
And we both had a lot of animals. Our moms got along and we just became friends.
We became friends. Gina specifically became friends with my sister, Nicole. They've been best friends since kindergarten. They still are best friends. And we've always just like had this relationship just from being family friends. But most recently, I guess not most recently, but in the last 3 years, we've made this new relationship, not only professionally, but personally, because we both became moms together at the same time.
Yeah, wild.
Which has been such a journey. It's been really nice doing it with you. But some of my favorite memories are of Gina because she was this like tomboy growing up. And we went to, I want to say it was Disneyland together. And she had like bleached tips. Her hair was like very short. And I think you were wearing a flame shirt, like what Guy Fieri would wear.
Yeah, I would say that he's pretty close to what my childhood fashion and style choices were like. Like at the time, I would say that I was going for more like pink or skater boys.
Yeah,
Guy
Pink
Fieri.
The singer, just to clarify. Not Pink the color.
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
No, I always had just like the most embarrassing haircuts. I bleached my hair at one point. And yeah, but looking back now, I'm like, okay. I had like this like idea for a personal brand. And I can't say I executed it well as like a 9-year-old. But I knew that I didn't love what like every other girly girl was wearing or doing. And so like I tried to do my own thing. I definitely like looked a lot more like John and Kate plus 8 hairstyle at one point.
John and Kate plus 8. Okay.
But yeah. You live and you learn.
Yeah. Well, look at you now. Complete 180.
I would like to think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're doing great.
Thank you so much.
So Gina has evolved, and I didn't know this. At first, I thought she was a copywriter because that's how our relationship started, but she's everything. And so I think it turned into this position of a brand strategist. Like it just evolved naturally into that, not only for Set, but for so many other brands that you help with. I mean, she's not going to enjoy the attention that I'm about to give her right now, but she is an
the ultimate genius when it comes to brand and strategy and operations and anything in between. If you haven't worked with her and you own a brand, I feel really sorry for you because she's hard, hard to like nail down. And if you have worked with her, you're really lucky. We beg her every single day to come back and work for us, so much so that I have offered her insane employee packages to come back to work for us. But she is a full-time mom and one day she'll come back, I'm sure of it. But she's a genius and I'm excited to dive in on the episode of what makes her a genius. So I guess the first question I want you to answer is, what is the purpose of a brand strategist?
That's a great question. And I feel like a lot of people don't really know it. I think it's becoming more common for brands to have either somebody in-house or an agency or a person that they contract with. But I do a lot of things as a brand strategist, right? Like I can do brand messaging or copywriting. I can do creative direction. I can do some business strategy. I can do problem solving.
Operations.
I can do, a lot of operations. But I would say, like, at its core, brand strategy is I help brands either figure out or build their identities. So everything from like their mission, their vision, their values, their position in the market, their unique offerings, their unique value proposition, who their audience is, why is that their audience? Why does what they do matter to their audience? So all of these things, I help brands find a ton of clarity and how do they articulate that both externally, so their audience knows who this brand is, but also internally so that instead of one founder having to say yes or no to every single idea, like every person in the company has the tools they need to make decisions and succeed in their own roles. And so I would say that's the first step, is just like bringing a ton of clarity to a brand. And then from there, it's like, well, the way you build a brand externally is through consistency. So every single touch point that somebody has with your brand should feel consistent, should help shape the perception that you want them to have of you as a company. You can do that in a ton of different ways. It can be in your online presence, so your website, your social media, your digital marketing. It can be through your physical location. If you have a retail space, you know, bringing branding into that space, it should be, I believe, in your operations too. Like if you say that your brand value is that you value your customer and you put them above everything, but then I visit your space and like nobody is friendly or checks me in or something, then like there's an inconsistency there that's going to mean that the brand kind of gets diluted. That brand promise isn't carried through. Yeah, I guess what I do is I help brands find clarity and then I help them bring that to life really consistently through everything they do.
I would say that is exactly what you do, but like so much more.
Yeah, I mean, I think so, like that's like what a traditional brand strategist is. And that's what I typically do with other brands. With Set, it's been a little bit different because I worked really, really integrated with you guys since you were pretty much just you and Nikki and a couple of freelancers. I did everything. Like I'm just inherently like a problem solver and an unsolicited advice giver. And so I think that my role just evolved so much to...
Yeah, to just, you are Set.
Everything. And I love you and I respect you and I just want to help you succeed. So whatever I can do to help you get there, whether it's technically a brand strategist role or just like me helping out a friend, like I'll do it.
I mean, we still can survive without you. We are surviving.
But you're surviving.
We're surviving. How have you executed that purpose of what you just explained as a brand strategist for Set Active?
A lot of different ways. So I think like early on, I came in initially, I was like brought on to Set to just do copywriting.
Yeah, the story is I was looking for a copywriter and I posted on my Instagram story, redo my about me page on setactive.co and we might hire you to be our copywriter. And you DM me and I think you said verbatim, can I give it a shot? And I was like, sure, anyone can. And I got like hundreds of like rewritten about me pages. And yours was just like, I was reading it and Allie was sitting next to me and I was like, every sentence is perfect. Every word she's choosing is perfect. We have to hire her. And then I passed it over to Allie and Allie was reading it and she was like, let's call her right now.
That's
how our relationship started.
Yeah. So it started there, like a really just organic, like I was freelancing very few hours. Like you guys wanted your about me rewritten. You wanted your product descriptions rewritten. And then, like I said, like, I just can't help myself, but to like help solve problems if they're in front of me or give advice. It just evolved really naturally. And I think, yes, how did I help execute that for Set? So I think when I came on to Set, like you have a really good understanding of brand naturally, which is why as Sets, both CEO, but also creative director, like you've been able to build such an incredible brand, whether you know why you're doing what you're doing, like every time you give a yes or no, like your yeses and nos are always on brand and you just have a really good understanding of that. I think what Set needed at the time was like, okay, how do we like unlock Lindsay's brain and put that on paper so that the company can grow? Cause like I said, like if you had to yes or no every single decision that the company made, like you couldn't grow. And Set was growing really, I mean, it still is growing really, really rapidly, but it was growing really rapidly to the point where I think one of Set's biggest pain points has always just been like, how do we keep up with the growth? And so what I helped try to do was build that foundation for you guys, build out this, you know, like a brand foundation guide, also really helping to clarify what makes Set special. Like, I think we had some idea, but we didn't necessarily have it on paper. We didn't necessarily
We couldn't articulate it to the consumer.
Yeah. And so I think helping articulate it to the consumer, but also finding out from the consumer, like, you know, you set out to build this community, but you never exactly know whether your goals actually match up with why people like you or why people are choosing you. And so figuring out like, why are people choosing Set and what does that mean they want more of, or what does that mean they want less of? So really just like articulating what makes Set special and building a whole foundation off of that. And then I think internally also, like, again, like you guys were a few people when I started working with you.
I think we were like 3 or 4.
Yeah. Like now there's a whole company culture. So like, what is that going to look like? Is Set going to be? And also what did our job hierarchies look like? It was especially always changing in the beginning. It's still always changing now.
I mean, if you could only see what restructure we're going through, and I mean, I can talk about it on here, but we're basically like swapping positions. We're hiring for positions. This is the first time we're hiring for a VP of marketing, which I don't know why we are just doing this, but it's crazy. Like you think you finish one restructure that we just went through, I think in December, and it was the hardest 2 weeks of my life in terms of like my professional life.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, we did the restructure. We're good to go. We can like calm down for a minute. And it's now we're in May and we're doing a whole new company restructure again. And I just am like,
yeah,
I just blink at the wall because I'm just like, what? This is crazy.
It's good problems because good the reason problems, you're doing it is because you are growing really rapidly. And again, like just trying to keep up with that growth and trying to make sure like you dream bigger probably than anybody I know. It's one of the things that makes you really successful. But it also means that like, okay, well, how do we have the bandwidth to carry out these dreams? And
so funny, Allie said the same thing yesterday. Yeah. Did you guys have a conversation?
No, but we're soul sisters.
Right.
We're Set sisters.
You're Set sisters.
Yeah. So like you need to just keep building your team. And at the same time, like I think that you prioritize, or at least you try to as much as you can, your employees having a really nice work-life balance and not being super burnt out. Like, you know that people aren't going to give you their best work if they're super burnt out. So like, how do you give somebody 3 new projects because you have these 3 cool new ideas? Or let's say your community is asking for something they want. Well, we want to give the community everything that they want. And so you need to just keep adding manpower and shifting things around. But I think eventually it will settle a little bit, or at least you'll have more people in place that when you do need to do these restructuring, like you just hear about it. Right. Like somebody comes to you and they're like, hey, Lindsay,
this is a new employee.
Yeah.
Want to say hi?
Yes.
That's happened a couple times. There was the other week I came out of my office back at the old office. And there was this tall, like pretty cute guy standing in the office, like working. And I walked out and I was like, hi. He was like, what's up? And I was like, so who are you? He was like, oh, my name's Eric. And I was like, cool, Eric, what do you do? And he was
That's hilarious.
I'm your new production intern. And I was like, wow, welcome. It is so nice to meet you. I'm Lindsay and I'm the CEO. He's like, yeah, I know. And I was like, cool. Today's your first day? He's like, no, it was yesterday. I was like, got it. Cool. Love.
Yeah, great. I mean, the more of that can happen, the better.
Yeah, I know. We're hiring for like 9 different positions. Allie and Bree's our HR manager, came into my office yesterday and we're like, hold on, we need to break this up into phases. It's a lot of strategy. Like hiring is a whole other dimension of an added layer to a company that you don't think is a job, but it is. I mean, we spent like an hour and a half strategizing like strong employees, employees that aren't working out, or who we're hiring for. Why are they going to be right for Set? What makes them different? Because as you know, whenever someone new comes into Set, they stand there with their eyes bigger than I've ever seen before. Well, I've never seen them before, but from what I think their eyes would look like.
Yeah.
You guys do things very differently here in terms of creative and social and marketing. And it's the common theme of The Office that like they have to come in as a new employee and completely erase anything they were doing before because it's not how it's going to be done at SetActive.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. And I think sometimes it gets to the point where it's like, is Set asking too, like, are we looking for like people that don't exist? Or, but then we find those people, like those A players, and you're like, nope, they're out there. We just have to keep looking. We just have to keep, you know, refining the process to find somebody. Because when you find them, then you're like, oh, if I just had five more of this person.
Uh-huh.
Like,
I say that every day.
Yeah.
I say that every day. It's so, Leslie, as you know, she's our brand director. She is like a mini me.
Yeah.
In terms of the way that I think, like there's so many times we'll be in a meeting and I'll say something. She'll be like, she'll turn to the group and she'll be like, did I not just tell you guys yesterday that I had that idea? And it's crazy. Like she really is my brain. And it's crazy to see someone like unlock that part. And then we just hired this new social media coordinator and Bree, our HR manager, was like, she's like a mini Leslie. And I'm like, if she's a mini Leslie, then that means she's a mini Lindsay. And it's like, we're finding these people. And it's like, it's amazing because I never thought that someone would be able to unlock my brain other than you the way that some of these girls can in the office or boys. I mean, my assistant sometimes can think before I do. He's not a girl, but he has a little Lindsay brain in there, but it's crazy. Okay. I feel like this is going to be like a 5-hour episode, but I do want to get through these questions because I also have a ton of questions that are coming out on my Instagram that people want to ask you. But what motivated you to choose to work with Set?
I like a challenge.
Yeah.
And I love problem solving. I also love to have my hands in everything. And I think Set just allowed me to do that. Like I would say it's one of my biggest strengths. It also can be a weakness for me at some point because sometimes I need to be like, no, I'm going to just focus on one area and do that incredibly instead of being like, hey, I can do these like 10 areas really great. But like, I just am drawn to that. Like, I just love knowing everything that's going on always. I mean, I think another really big thing is that Set was already doing really well. And I just saw its potential where like I had known about Set since you founded it, obviously, but it kind of just existed like peripherally to me. The demographic is slightly younger than I am, though I wear plenty of Set. So like I knew about it and I was following it, but I didn't like know. And then I think the first time you and I sat down and I was like, oh, this is not just like my friend's sister started a business that like happens to be doing okay. It's like there's huge potential here. And yeah, I was just interested to see where we could take it. And I think it was also like I started working with you right before COVID hit.
Yep.
And so, I mean, what I don't know.
Adventure.
It was, I mean, none of us, obviously, there's so many things about COVID and the pandemic that none of us could have ever expected. But I think trying to help a brand figure out what in the world to do.
In crisis?
In like, I mean, just total crisis.
Do you remember when someone from the team, she no longer works with us, but uploaded 400 extra Set sweats on the website on drop day?
I sure do.
Those are examples of crises. There, that's why we have a copywriter in the room. Crises that Gina had to work on. There was one morning. This was like the first time I think I actually lost my shit. Like I walked out of, we were working from my dining room table and I walked out and I just started crying. I was like, I was also hormonal and pregnant and just like, but still I was just like, if one more fire happens, like, I don't know what I'm going to do, but we don't like to show the fires out to the customer. So it was like the craziest morning. I'll never forget. It feels like yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, that was definitely like one of the first really big mistakes that Set made. And like looking back now, you're like, look, it was literally just human error. Like somebody typed in the wrong number. We didn't have 10 people who could then double check the right number on the website. Like, like it was one person inputted inventory on the website before a drop and they just happened to type in the wrong number. And look, it happens. Like, it's not like that person was fired. It happens. It was a mistake. But it's like, okay, well, now where do we go from here?
Yeah.
And what I always try to do is come back to the brand of like, okay, Set puts our community first. And so that means that we're not a brand that's about gaslighting our customers and like pretending something didn't happen. We also, like, another brand value is being solutions oriented. So like in that instance, we weren't going to just say like, oops, we messed up. Everyone did everything they could. I think what ended up happening is like, we ended up pulling some inventory from a future drop that like the colors had been cut, but not, or I mean, like the fabric had been cut, but not dyed and dying. Like, I mean, it was just.
But it's crazy how quickly we can think on our feet in the middle of a crisis because like almost some of the best ideas come to life when there's a fire that you have to put out. I like have a little bit of anxiety because I'm checking my Instagram. My engagement has been like so down lately. I don't know why. Truthfully, don't care. But I just checked my Instagram. I have so many questions that everyone wants to ask you.
Ooh.
So I'm going to try to like run through these so that I can get to those. But if you, as someone, you've helped set, build its foundation of a brand. Where do you begin when building a brand from the ground up? Like, what's the first step you would take? Like, let's say you're starting a company today. What's the first step?
Really understanding what either makes them special if they already have their product and their idea, or how can we make this special? When I say special, I mean different from anybody out there. Pretty much no matter what market you enter nowadays, unless you come up with like a completely brand new idea, which there are still some of those, right? Like something like Uber was a completely brand new idea. But let's say you're just starting a clothing brand or you're starting a beauty brand. Like chances are somebody is doing something very, very similar to you. That's okay. There's space for everybody to succeed. But it's like, what is that little edge that makes you different, that makes you special? Who are you? Are you for a slightly different audience? Are you solving a slightly different problem? And I think really going from there, because I think if you go into it being like, I'm just going to make the same clothes, like, can you be successful? Yes. But are you going to reach the same potential as somebody else? I don't think so.
Which aspect of a company do you believe needs to be invested in first and foremost? I have an answer, but I want to know what your answer is.
Like, what are my options?
Ooh, should we play a multiple choice game?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. A, employees. B, product. C, office space. Or D, none of the above.
I think if you need employees.
Don't forget, this is a multiple choice question. Not a short essay.
Okay. I'm going to say F, brand.
Okay, so what does that entail?
It entails
understanding what your brand is and how you're going to communicate that to the customer.
Yeah, and just aligning your messaging, aligning your aesthetic, and aligning that with your product.
Like, yes.
Your product has to match up with what you're saying.
So wouldn't you invest in product first? That was me, by the way. That was my answer. Like, what comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah. I mean, look, there's no way, like, you can't just make a product and have zero thought into brand or vice versa. Yeah. Like, you could build a really cool brand, but if you don't sell anything, then you're not going to make much money. But I think that I would say, like, you don't have to perfect your product from day zero. You have to perfect your idea and know where your product is going, or at least have a map. But like, can you release something that's just like a pretty good version just to kind of test the waters? I do think so.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, I fell in love with Seamless Activewear. That was the first, you know, product that Set did. And everyone was like, why Seamless? Like, I don't, Lululemon, blah, 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 Gymshark, this. And like, I respect all of those. But Gymshark was for the girl who was like doing heavy lifting in the gym. And I was like, that is not me. I do not do heavy lifting in the gym. So I didn't align with that brand. And then, you know, there was Lululemon, and I still respect the hell out of that brand. They are the pioneers for activewear. However, I felt like I was needing chest compressions when I wore their bras. Like, I was like, I can't breathe no matter what size I'm doing.
Yeah.
And my leggings were pilling and all of this stuff. And then I found that I fell in love with Seamless. And I was like, there's not a brand out there who's doing like matching Seamless sets.
Yeah.
And I want to be the first person to do that. And this was 4 years. Of course, now brands are either trying to do what we do or whatever. But I try to just like put blinders on and block that out. But that's why, I mean, to me, that was special. And then in addition to that, my body, not pregnant, I feel very large right now being pregnant. But when I'm not pregnant, I have tiny ankles, tiny calves, bigger hips, bigger butt, small waist, and then like somewhat big boobs. And I was like, yeah, there's no product out there that like fits my body, but also fits like a stick, but also fits like, you know, plus size. And we're working on the extended sizing right now. But I was like, someone has to be doing it.
Yeah.
And I was like, no one's doing it, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I definitely think, I mean, it's interesting because it's only been 4 years and it's easy to look around today and be like, there's everybody's doing activewear, but everybody wasn't actually doing activewear for the everyday person when Set started.
Yeah.
And so I think that, yeah, it was actually very, very unique when it started. And now there's a lot of copiers out there that'll always stay 10 steps behind.
Well, that's a perfect transition into my next question, because My question is, how would you best describe the Set brand?
Visually?
At just identity, product, sure. How we brand, how we talk to anything.
So I think like at its core, and something that I come back to a lot with helping guide decision making, is that Set was created to help people feel set for their day, to feel confident, to feel put together, to look chic, to feel sophisticated. Initially, it was like selling those sets where it's like, okay, you buy an outfit and it goes together and this is it. Now, for example, there's a lot more offerings. And so shifting that thinking of like, okay, not every single outfit is going to take you through your day, right? Like I'm not going to wear lounge to, well, some people will, but I personally, like I'm not going to wear lounge to a business meeting and then to go out to dinner somewhere fancy. Does it fit into the story that set, it helps you be set for the day? Can you wear activewear for your meetings and then put on basics for your lunch and then change into lounge when you have friends over later? Like just...
I will have to say, I got pretty creative with my lounge outfit. And I got pulled aside at, I think I was at San Vicente Bungalows. And someone came up to me and was like, this whole outfit is just so chic. And it was lounge. And I was like an hour before laying in bed with my hair in a bun.
Yes, for sure. Some people can pull it off, or just maybe you need like the balls to pull it off. And I veer to grandma with my style sometimes. So I have to be careful.
Okay. Did you answer the question?
Yeah, I think so.
I got a little sidetracked looking at all the... I'm so overwhelmed by all the questions that are coming in. Is there anything that you should be cautious about when you're like building an identity and a voice for a brand and, you know, making sure all your bases are covered?
Yeah, don't copy anybody else.
I mean, there you go.
Yeah, like I think it's totally fine to pull inspiration. I do it all the time, but I think like a really simple example, like, oh, I love this picture that this brand posted. It is of a girl... smiling, having fun. And it's like, okay, well, if I need to post something similar, like I'm not going to be like, okay, it should be a girl smiling, having fun. I'm going to be like, well, what do I like about this photo? Like, what's the essence? It conveys energy or it conveys joy, or like boiling something down to the essence and then figuring out how you can apply that rather than being like, let me just look at this formula and copy it word for word or picture for picture.
Yeah. I have that conversation with the team all the time. It's like, you can draw inspiration.
Yeah. Everybody
but when
does.
You're drawing inspiration, don't copy it exactly, like for a graphic, for social media or whatever it might be. Like take the graphic and ask yourself, what do you like about the graphic, and build upon that to where we are now. Yeah. And that just goes for everything. It goes for product. It goes for social media. It goes for literally anything that you're doing. Yes. Everyone draws inspiration from someone. That's how the continuous wheel of, you know,
I mean, it would be
life works.
Impossible. Even if you thought you weren't, it would be impossible not to. We're surrounded by media.
How do you separate when to include the community's input and when to make moves that are best for the brand or listen to the community and different things like that? I mean, I know the answer, but I want everyone to hear from a brand strategist, like how to answer that question. And then what are a few ways that if you're not a community first brand, you can start including the community? It's about like knowing when to talk to your community, essentially. And like from there, how do you, and like, you know, obviously I'm the CEO and the creative director, but I post a lot on my personal Instagram about like, what color should we do? What bra style do you like more?
Yeah.
And like, how do you, my gut will tell me this dress is going to do better, but the community wants this. Like when it boils down to it, what are you supposed to do if you're a community first brand?
There's not an equation. Like there's never going to be black and white of like, this is when to include them. This is when not to include them. But for example, we could talk about changing fabrics, for example, right? Set is faced sometimes with a decision of like, do they need to change a fabric? Well, the first thing I ask is like, do you need to change the fabric as a company? Yes, we need to. The fabric that we're using isn't reliable, or it isn't sustainable, or it is so astronomically expensive that we would need to raise the cost for our customers to a price point that we're not comfortable raising. Yeah. And we can't, you know, where our margins
That's a perfect example.
Yeah, like our margins are already so small that we can't, whatever. So I'm like, okay, great. So you're telling me it is not possible for you to keep this fabric. Then do not ask the customer if you want them to keep the fabric or not, because it's just not an option, unfortunately. And so in that instance, like, again, like going back to like, we're not gaslighting. We're going to explain to the customer,
this is a situation.
This is a situation.
This is why we're making this decision.
Yes. But then like, actually Leslie was the one who proposed it, but she was trying to figure out like, well, how do we bring the customer back in? And she's like, well, we have two options for the fabric we can choose. What if we had people sign up the first, I don't know, 10, 100, I have no idea what the number would be, but let's say the first 10 people who sign up can actually help us test the fabric and feel it out.
Mini focus group.
Yeah, like a mini focus group and help them make the decision. And I thought that was a really, really fantastic idea. And again, like perfect. Like we unfortunately can't involve the customer in every decision. Also, if we ask the customer, do you want to buy a set for $100 or $0? They'd be like $0. Well, cool, we'll be out of business tomorrow.
Yeah.
So there's certain things like you just aren't going to be able to ask for advice on, but then there might be things where you could say like, okay, great. Sets have to be around $100. Would they rather have a $5 off discount if they buy it together, or would they rather get free socks? You know what I mean? Like yeah. there's certain things that you can involve the customer in. And I think just bringing them in when you can, I think helps keep people in check and make sure people are good people. But I think with social media, it can be really amplified of like,
yeah, I think that answers it perfectly. I'm going to like skip the rest of the questions that we came up with because there's so many on my phone that I want to get to. And this is like the first time I've had so many questions come in. So it's your lucky day.
I'm flattered and scared.
Okay. So let's say you're starting a brand for the first time. How do you get the attention towards it? Like, what's your first step?
One thing I would do is just think about where does your audience exist currently, or who do they interact with currently, or what are they engaging with already? And how do we be there? If the answer is Instagram, it's like, well, how do we reach more people on Instagram? Do we pay for an ad, which I'm not a huge fan of initially, but, or do we, so for example, I'll talk about a friend who's starting like a recreational hiking clothing company.
Okay.
She will be launching in the next few months. And, you know, we're talking about starting her Instagram from zero followers. It's really daunting of like that. Feels really, really scary. But I was like, okay, rather than just like text your friends on launch day and ask them to post, like you have a big circle of friends in LA, let's host like a hike day for all of your friends where we go through, like one of the things she's doing is releasing like day itineraries. So like, let's say you want to go on a day hike in Malibu. Well, first you're going to stop for juice here. Then you're going to get your, then you're going to park here, go on your hike. Then you're going to go to breakfast. Like, let's have everybody live out that day. It gives them reasons to post. So anyways, I would find where your audience is and then try to figure out how you can be there.
Yeah. I think also social media can also just be your best friend in this situation too.
Like, it's free.
When I first started Set, I just started with like a mood board that I was posting, and I have product to post. So I was literally just posting things that had to do with activewear or just being active. And I posted it on Set's Instagram. And then I would just engage with people from Set's Instagram. And I would like comment on people who were hiking, like you just said. Yeah. And I would comment on people who are going to SoulCycle classes. And they'd like, it starts to create familiarity in your head because you see the name, you're seeing people comment to you from that brand. And then you start seeing people talk about that brand. And it's like this whole chain reaction where the brand, which is I think some of the most important aspects of marketing and branding, is familiarizing. Wow, this is a whole tongue twister of a sentence.
Here we go.
Familiarizing your brand name so that, you know, the more you see it, it's like what they say, it takes 3 times for someone to see a product to actually act on it if they're interested. And then usually by that third time, they're like, okay, I'm pulling the plug the trigger. Jesus Christ. Where's my brain today? I've been watching a lot of Grey's Anatomy, if I'm being honest.
Pulling the plug is dark.
I've been watching Grey's reruns at night, so that is probably why I said that. But no, but it's like that's how I first started. And then I always say step two is talk about it. Talk about it with your friends. Yes. Talk about it with whoever you see. If you're at lunch and you're like, hey, I like those leggings. Like, what do you like about them? And then they're probably going to be like, why are you asking eventually? And then you're going to say, oh, I'm just doing research. I'm starting an activewear brand. And you'd be surprised. I mean, and then I also utilized my personal Instagram. So I posted samples. I was like, I'm selling these samples. Yeah. Like, let me know if you want to try it. Or if you write a review on social media, I'll send you a bra for free. And then people started talking about the brand.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point too, about how you talked about it on your own social media. I think that's something really scary and feels very vulnerable. And so like this friend who has this brand that's launching, for example, she is not somebody who shares a lot about her life on social media. But I told her, I was like, you cannot just post like, hey guys, I started something, please go follow it. I was like, you got to loop people into your story. Like, tell them that it is terrifying for you to post that. Tell them that you have been working on it for now over a year and you thought, or probably 2 years. And like, you thought it would, you know, like take them through this, like take them on the journey with you and have them buy into your story.
Yeah.
I think you did an amazing, I mean, you still do an amazing job with that. Even at this level, like you still loop people into the journey. You share when you have your
hard days.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think all of that is great advice.
Okay. This person, Emma Unit. Sorry if I butcher your name, Emma, but she wants to know, what's the key to creating a brand that can evolve while staying true to its intentions?
I think it's clarifying like your biggest vision statement so that everything you do can continue to fall into that. So going back to the example of like Set being set for the day, when Set releases swimwear, for example, swim isn't going to make you set for your day. You cannot wear your bathing suit only to school and then to your after school job and then to dinner. Like, you have to wear other clothes, But can we release swim in a way that it comes with accessories so that if you do have a beach day planned or a pool day planned, like you are set for that day and you can be set for a portion of your vacation. So I think like creating a vision statement that serves as like overarching guidance that isn't too specific, but that everything can kind of fall under that goal.
Great answer. Okay, Cassie wants to know some examples of some of your favorite brands and strategies in the market currently.
Cassie, I'm really sorry to disappoint you, but it's a great question because I feel like I have been really checked into just mom life. And I feel like I knew this question could possibly come up and I don't have a great answer. Somebody whose online experience I always enjoy would be Crown Affair. I think that they do it really well and it resonates like with me and like my personal brand. Like I think it speaks to me. It's like really simple, cool hair stuff, like hair products and brushes and combs. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like an area where I would never be like, oh, I need like an expensive hairbrush or an expensive comb.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, yeah, it looks cool.
I might need it. That's a good one. Yeah. Crown Affair. That's not one that was on my list. Yeah. So I'm excited to dive in and, you know, see what's going on.
I think
on.
They execute. Like their website always looks really nice. Their social media always looks really nice. So
love.
Yeah.
Cool. I always like to say, I mean, I like brands and their marketing and brand strategy for different reasons.
Yeah.
You know, like the reason I might like Lonely Ghost, for example, is because I like how they involve their community because we're both community first brands, but I don't necessarily like love, you know, the busyness of their Instagram feed, but I respect the hell out of them. It's a cult like brand, just like Set. And I mean, I think Indie Blue is, you know, one of the smartest people to come into social media and start a brand. She did it right. She should write a business book on how she did it. I love it. But I also, you know, I'm obsessed with Summer Fridays. They might not have the highest engagement on social media, but their product matches up to what they sell and promises what it says it's going to do.
Yeah.
And their content is amazing. So I feel like you can't, there's so many like facets and buckets and all these things to social media that I feel like that's a really hard question to answer. And you have to like kind of take it out of the magnifying glass, look at it from, you know, a bird's eye view and say like, well, what is it about that? And that's what I always do. Like there's not one account where I'm like, they hit it on the head for every single, like we call it bucket at Set because there's so many buckets you have to fill for social. But yeah, that's my no one asked me, but I wanted to answer.
No, I think that that's great input. Yeah, like you should, I would never suggest to somebody like find one brand for inspiration and just follow what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's always going to be like, let's find a handful. And I would also say it's evolving. So like another thing where I'm thinking like, who am I following right now? I go through phases and maybe I'm really weird on social media, but like sometimes I follow a ton of people for inspiration. And then sometimes I'm like, okay, now all I'm doing is comparing myself to all these people and I'm going to just unfollow all of them and just like put my blinders on for a minute and like take what I've just like absorbed, what I've been looking at and just do my own thing.
Yeah. I mean, so, honestly, for me, some of my best ideas are born out of being under pressure.
Yeah.
Like that's just, I hate it because it's like the scariest feeling in the world.
Yeah.
But some of the best ideas are like born from being under pressure. Like we had this huge social meeting right now where like, restructuring our social media team again. And this time we think it's time to bring on a social media strategist and a social media manager. But right now in the interim, we still need social to go on. So I've hand selected 9 people from the office, whether they're, you know, in production or just like a different position. And we meet twice a week and I call us the Niners because there's 9 of us. And we act as the social media team for the interim.
Yeah.
And we were in a meeting and, you know, we haven't posted on social media in 3 weeks. We, to be honest, have gotten a little stale. I don't like what we're putting out there. I'm very bored by it. Yeah. And it's my own brand. And so we were like sitting there coming up with all these ideas. And like, I was just like staring off into space. And I was like, oh, my God, I think it would be so funny if we did a series called Set on the Streets where Abby, who's in charge of or she's our production manager. She is the best personality.
Yeah.
You know, Abby, she's just the funniest girl ever and always upbeat. We're like, what if we got a Set brand and mic and just like Set on the Streets? Like we just left the office, went down. I was about to say the street that we are on, went down La La Land Street and went up to random people and be like, have you heard of Set Active? And like, see what they say. And then like have a set if they've never done it and like get their reaction. I'm like, that'd be so fun and so engaging. And I would laugh so hard because Abby's hilarious. And so many ideas came from that it was just like so fun.
I love that. That's like a great example of like you didn't get that from following another brand because like nobody's ever done that. And so I think you probably actually got that from like TikTok. Totally different media. Yeah. Like I was going to say like something completely unrelated. And that's like my favorite creative ideas is like when I'm doing one thing that has nothing to do with another brand. And I'm like, oh, this would be really interesting if you actually applied this like really outrageous thing to a different.
Do you remember all the times I'd call you or I'd be like, can you go on a walk? I have so many ideas. We have to talk.
Yes.
You'd start laughing every time I'd call because you'd be like, what's this one going to be?
Yep.
Sometimes they're the best and sometimes they're like, what the hell was she thinking?
But hey.
Yeah. Hey. Okay. Someone wants to know if you're interested in brand strategy because you don't see a lot of brands hiring for brand strategist.
Yeah.
Like what's the first step or like how do you pitch yourself or what would you do? I have an answer for this too.
Okay. I'm curious to know your answer.
Okay. If I was, you know, wanting to get involved in brand strategy and I want, and you know, a brand that I was obsessed with wasn't hiring for it. Like there's a ton of brands that I think need a lot of help. I'm not going to say this brand name right now. So I'm just going to call it Ace Bathrobes. Okay.
Ace Bathrobes?
Yeah. Bathrobes.
Bathrobes.
Yeah. Because it's a company that I love their product, but I think their social and branding needs a shit ton of help. And I don't want to say it publicly on the podcast. Okay.
Yeah. That's like what you did name it.
Yeah. Ace Bathrobes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just I was thinking about Ace and the product has to do with bathrobes.
Okay.
And I think my first step, if I was like, you know, just out of college and brand strategy was interesting to me, I would write a brief with visuals and like what I would do and why I think, but you know, being respectful, being like, this is what you're doing. This is what I think you could be doing. This is how I think it would affect the market. This is how I think it would affect the consumer. This is how I think, you know, the product would sell better. And these are the ideas I have to execute it. And this is how many people it's going to take to execute it. And it's a 4-week timeline. I mean, I could continue to spit things out, but I would basically put together like a package of what I would do. And those are the types of emails that catch my eye when someone's emailing in for set.
Yeah.
So I think that's where I would start if I was interested in becoming a brand strategist and wanted to like pitch myself to a brand who wasn't hiring for it.
Yeah. I think that that's a great idea. I would say for any role is, yeah, like just go after it. One of the things I always say to people looking for advice is like, ask for what you want. Like people say the phrase advocate for yourself. I also do that.
I
love that, but I want to take it even a step further of being specific of like, well, what does that even mean? Yeah. Literally ask for what you want. Do you want a job as XYZ? Ask for it.
Yeah.
Like you never know what will happen.
And also us as like leaders or managers or directors or CEOs, we're not mind readers.
Yes. Like I admittedly have been in positions where like I would be too busy in my role and I wanted, like I wish that I could focus on something else. And instead of just figuring out what I wanted or needed and saying it, I just would like repeatedly like go to the person who was managing me and be like, I'm too busy. I'm drowning. Can you help me reprioritize? But like, I didn't want to reprioritize. I wanted to focus on this and hire a coordinator to focus on XYZ. And so I think with anything that you want, like ask for what you want. I would say other avenues, if you're somebody who's like, okay, I'm not quite ready to just like pitch myself to a company, there are brand strategy agencies. So if you are fresh out of college and you're looking, you think it's an interesting field, which I think it is really, really fascinating. Like you can get an entry level role at a brand strategy agency. You can reach out to people on social media who are doing brand strategy and ask if they need an intern or ask if they need an assistant. You can Google everything. I am very, very self-taught. Like I would in the beginning be like Googling, what is brand positioning? How do I write brand? Like there's so much free information out there. There are also certificate courses that you can take if you're like, hey, I have a college degree. I don't really want to go to college, but I'm somebody who learns best if somebody guides me through the learning. Like there are programs out there that can help you learn this. So I think there are definitely different avenues you can take depending on like your personality and how you succeed. Some people do best being like, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to pitch myself. I'm going to put all this together. Some people are like, I need a little bit more handholding until I'm ready to do that.
And
I think
both ways are okay.
100%.
I'm definitely the first. I'm like, I'm going to go after what I want. I remember when I graduated from college, I wanted a job at NBC Universal so badly. I don't know why. It was just like, I just wanted this job. I didn't care what the position was. Not knowing that NBC Universal has like, obviously it's a corporate company that has thousands of employees, but security at the front doors, like when you go into reception, you can't just like walk up to a floor, like you have to use a badge and all of this stuff. So here I am, fresh out of college, home in Los Angeles. I'm like, I'm going to walk to Miss Universal and hand my resume in. Can't do that. Oh. I walked right into the reception and they were like, who are you here to see? And I was like, no one.
That's like, hilarious.
Well, what are you doing here? I was like, I want to give you my resume. And she's like, well, I'm just the front desk lady. I don't know really who to give this to.
But didn't you one day get a job with them?
I did. And I did get a job with them.
Yeah.
I just didn't give up. I found a different avenue.
Yeah.
But someone showed up at our office. I think it was 2 weeks ago. They knocked on our door at site. I don't know how they, I mean, actually, I do know how because we've done a sample sale at the building before. Oh, yeah. But she knocked on our door and she introduced herself with her resume in hand. And we ended up interviewing her. And I was like, wow, she's got some balls.
Yeah. Good for her. I have mixed feelings. Being on the receiving end of stuff like that where I'm like,
yeah,
oh, bold of you to assume.
My favorite ways that people have caught my attention actually have been when they've submitted a project on their own.
Yes.
And it's like things that I haven't seen or that I haven't thought of before. And then they get the job.
Yeah.
Most likely.
I agree. Like, I think sending in something like Set looks at every email it gets.
We do.
It is not getting lost.
Wow.
If you want any of like the 900 positions Set is hiring for at the moment, send in a really, really cool sample project or portfolio or something because they will see all of it.
How do you deal with burnout?
I try to nowadays just have better boundaries from the get-go so that I don't get to that point.
Okay.
I have not always been good at that. I am not always good at that, but I do think that I just try to like know myself a little bit better. I am not a workaholic. I do not like to work 100-hour weeks. I need a lot of space. And so just having those boundaries, giving yourself space however you can. Like for me, it used to be traveling. Like when I worked full time, it was really important to me to take vacation time. And I mean, truly, like it's so cliche, but like on those trips, I would think of fantastic ideas because I would just be I would be happy. I would be rested. I would feel free. I wouldn't be like bogged down by all like the small day-to-day things that a job asked of me. And I would just have the space to just like think really creatively of like, oh, wouldn't this be cool?
Yeah.
I think when you are burnt out, you almost shut those ideas down. Or at least I did because I would be like, well, I don't want to say this idea to anybody because I don't want to add it to my plate.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just getting started.
I know. Well, sorry you're just getting started because I'll end with what is one piece of advice you'd like to leave with our listeners?
So I think one of my biggest ones I already said, which is ask what you want.
Yeah.
I think another one.
Advocate for yourself. Ask for what you want.
Ask for what you want. Advocate for yourself. I think another one is less advice and more like something I tried to follow that I think everyone can benefit from, which is actually, I think it's from a Brené Brown book, which I love her, but I don't even think I read the whole book. I think I just got to this point and I was like, that's all I needed from her. But it was just this concept. Yeah. It was just this concept that she realized that I think she was maybe feeling really angry or whatever. She basically realized that she is happier when she can believe that everybody else is doing their best. And so I am really hard on myself. I am also really hard on other people. And so we live in a world, again, like coming back to like what we think we should be doing or what we think other people should be doing. And just like operating in a way that I think that I can try to believe that other people are all trying their best. And it helps me become less frustrated with people. I think it's interesting, like looking at the Set community of there's this like huge positive outpouring of support. But then there's also these people who like can love to hate on the brand and just thinking like, I just wish I could be like, just try living your day like knowing that everybody who works at Set is doing their best.
That's great advice.
And that's how I feel happier when I follow that advice. Sometimes like
I feel like I need to follow that advice. I already started my morning super frustrated with the team and was in a bad mood. I don't think I said one word on the drive here to Jake. He's probably like, the hell happened to her?
It's hard. It also comes from, again, like you're a really high achiever. So you're really hard on yourself. So you're thinking like, well, if I were in their shoes, I would be doing better. But like, they're not you. You're not in their shoes. And so you have to just believe. And we know it. Like right now with some space from whatever was happening, I'm sure you could say like everyone is trying their best or doing their best. Whether their best is good enough or right for the position, that might not be. But like most people don't go around day to day with like the intention to like let other people down.
Yeah, totally. Well, Jean, well, her name's Gina. I call her Jean. I know you've given our listeners so like many takeaways from this episode. If you guys enjoyed this episode and you want to learn more or you just want to learn more about brand strategy or Gina herself, you can follow her on Instagram. She posts a lot of her son, Jude, who is one of Ace's best friends. I don't know how, but Gina is brunette with brown eyes and I'm also brunette with brown eyes. And we both have blonde kids with blue eyes. So funny that we both have blonde kids. But if they want to find you on social, where can they find you?
My Instagram is Gina Sheldon _.
Really cool Instagram name.
It used to be Gina Loves Pizza, RIP. And then at some point I was like, I need to be more professional. And now I'm like, why?
Well, what's the _? Because it was taken?
It was, yeah. Cool. Obviously, it was taken by a woman who posted like 4 times in 2015 and never again. Thanks. Thanks, other Gina Sheldon.
Yeah. Shout out to her. Thanks so much for coming on for this podcast episode.
You're so welcome. This best of my day.
Awesome. Bye.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to follow us on your podcast listening platform. Share your favorite moments with me on social media and tune in next week. Again, I'm your host, Lindsay Carter, and this is Ready, Set, Spill.